It's Christmas again. The pressure. The problems to solve that aren't there when Christmas isn't there. The presents to buy. The parties to go to. The possibilities. The panic attacks. Did I ring any bells with anybody? You know, for kids, it's not like that. Kids just look forward to Christmas, right? You looking forward to Christmas? Did you know it was coming? Did you know Christmas was coming? Looking forward to it? Yeah, okay, see. What is it about Christmas that makes it press down on us a little bit, or a lot? Is it not the way the world treats Christmas and takes it as a chance to celebrate or to try to wake people up? There was a wise old man who was kind of extroverted. And he would have loved our Christmas because it was just too much. And this man is named Peter. His name starts with a P too. But after Pentecost, Peter began to take a different tack. To supply himself with the energy that God gave instead of his own exuberance. And when he writes his second epistle to us, he uses what we translate into the words with the letter P to give us an entirely different perspective on Christmas by taking us a step back to Advent. Advent is the season in which the church prepares itself, prepares the way of the Lord, straightens things out a little bit so that God can get through, cleans up the mess so that God can find a place in our hearts. So if you look at the lesson with me from 2 Peter and try to pick out the words that start with P, there's some teaching there for us that comes straight from the Apostle Peter. The first word is promise, and it couples with patient. Patience is the most important God attitude in the season of Advent. Peter's audience was very impatient. They were sick of suffering. They were sick of hard times. They were sick of people looking at them in a funny way. They had heard the promise of God and they wanted God to keep his promise. But they were getting impatient. And so Peter talks about God's watch. He says, with the Lord, 1,000 years are as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. God's got a different clock than you do. So be patient. What's taking God so long? That's where our impatience comes from. And also this promise. I know kids get impatient for Christmas. Are you impatient? Yes, I thought so. Impatient because they know something better is coming. And so let's look at the next P word. The next P word is perish, as far as I can tell. And this is what the problem is for God. If Christ were to come today, let's say at the end of this service, it would solve a lot of problems for a lot of us, wouldn't it? We'd be covered. But it would cause a lot of eternal torment for people that perish. You know John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's God's goal. And that's why God is patient, because He has loads and loads of grace. He wants there to be time for people to repent. That's why He sent John the Baptist. That's why the season is a time for repentance. We have two of them. We have Advent and we have Lent. And both of those help to prepare our hearts for the coming. To take time to repent. To look at our lives and evaluate them and see that they're missing something. And to see how God will prepare our way. You know why we sit together? You don't want to start Christmas dinner unless everybody's there, right? You know why we don't just tear open the gifts under the tree right away? As soon as they're placed there, they could be torn open, but we sit there with the gift all wrapped up and we wait until everybody's together and then we can exchange our gifts. And that same kind of spirit is in God's heart as He presents His gifts to the world. And of course we want to share that gospel immediately. But how nice it is for God when more people are there. When everybody that's going to believe is gathered under and around that tree. Now, I'm not talking about the Christmas tree. I'm talking about the cross. Gathered around that cross of Christ and looking up at the salvation that hung there for the whole world. Now, if you like the spirit of Christmas, if you think it's a very fun time, lengthen its days. Do the same as God does. Stretch out that spirit of Christmas into January and all throughout the year. Start celebrating right now that the Lord has come. And be ready to be kind and generous to everybody all the year round, as long as you can. Because that's how God treats the world. Okay, the next P word is pass. It will all pass. The stuff that's always there will pass. The Great Pyramid, the Great Wall of China will pass. The United States will pass. It's always been there down there. Europe will pass. Asia will pass. Africa will pass. The CN Tower will pass. Tim Hortons will pass. They're always there. They'll pass. It's all going to pass. Everything we see, according to St. Peter, it's going to burn up. He was one fond of quoting, as he did in his first epistle, first chapter, Isaiah 40, this line, "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." And that's the kind of thing that John the Baptist was trying to proclaim. As he stood in his camel's hair clothes, that's pretty itchy stuff, camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt to hold it on, and he ate locusts and wild honey. That's all there is to eat in the desert. There's no place to grab a burger or anything out there. You can't even pick pick fruit off the trees. There aren't any trees. He was sort of like these people that are in the Occupy movement. And they camp. There's a bunch of them down in City Hall Square occupying Windsor now. And they're trying to say, wake up. Wake up. There's something wrong here. Somebody needs to repent. Now, the little bit of difference between John's message and the Occupy people, because they're trying to come up with a human solution to these problems. And John was saying, no, the reason to get ready, the reason I'm dressed like this, the reason you all need to be baptized is because God is coming. And he was pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he identified that Lamb of God for all the world to know. And it was Jesus of Nazareth, a guy born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. John showed us, reminded us that all is going to pass, but that God is going to bring salvation. Now the next P word is people. And that's where it really comes down to something important. Because Peter asks, what sort of people should we be? Should we be people that scoff and doubt? Should we be people that criticize and complain? Should we be people who withdraw from the world because the world is so corrupt? Should we be people who try to set it up so that we can win? Or should we be people who admit that we're losers and everybody should feel sorry for us? Peter says none of these. He says holiness and godliness. And why? Well, because that's people that have something that nobody can take away from them. Do you have something that nobody can take away from you? If you do, you have the Word of God, because that's the only thing that can never be taken away. Everything else is going to pass. But the holiness and godliness that come from the Word of God are something that we have and we never will lose, even if we give it away to other people. Because God has promised that that Word will never pass away. And He spoke that Word to you and He said, your sins are forgiven. He spoke that Word to you and He said, it will be all right. He spoke that word to you and he said, I love you. And my love for you will never die. My love is more important than having my son by my side, and I'll give him to die on the cross so that you can be with me forever. Now those kinds of words never die. And if we have those words in our heart, there's something that nobody can take away from us. We don't have to protect them. We can share them. And the other side of people is how we look at other people. Do we look at other people the way God looks at them? Or do we look at them as somebody who's going to take something from me? Who's going to demand something from me? Who's going to make me feel less? People are people that God loves, for whom Christ died. And that can change our whole opinion of the way we live our lives with other people. There's two more P words. I'm not going to talk much about them. The word promise is back again. It's a beautiful thing that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Bishop Bo Geertz from Sweden said, about 50 years ago, he wrote, what unbelievers call the end of the world means, in fact, that we finally will receive new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That creation finally will be good again, and the world a paradise as it was meant from the beginning. Oh, if we only were there. That's the promise. And that's the peace. Peace to be found in Him, to be found when He comes again, forgiven, without spot or blemish or anything. Peace that we're found to be forgiving. That we're not going to meet the end of days or the end of our lives with a whole bunch of grudges on our heart. Peace that will be found alive. Found alive because our spiritual life can't be taken away from us. Peace that we're found prepared for the Lord when He comes. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we think about Your promise and Your patience. We think about how the world will perish and pass away. We think about people and the promise of a new age. Grant us Your peace so that we can keep that promise in our hearts and trust that it will come true. It will definitely come true. That people will be changed by it and by our going to them. And that though things pass and perish, we still have patience to wait and hold on for Your coming. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.